clothes may be lacking in style, and if you come sit at my table, a meager supply you might find. But oh, it's not what you see that makes me a king, makes me a king. For to me, I've everything, all that I need, all that I need. The secret to hidden possessions is to love Him and serve Him each day. But oh, it's not what you see that makes me a king. To me, I've everything, all that I need, all that I need, treasures unseen.
Take your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel chapter number 6. Very familiar scripture this morning, and again, one of those scriptures that's so familiar that I argued with God about using the scripture for the thought that He had placed on my mind and the kind of the direction we've been going over the past few weeks of things that we see in God's Word that were done for our good and His glory. Aren't you glad that God's working for your good this morning? Hey, I'm glad that God's working for my good. I'm glad that God is in my corner. They were talking this morning about in Sunday school about God having us in His hand, and that His hand is big enough to hold us all in His hand, and His hand is big enough to hold the entire world and to hold the oceans in His hand. And that's true. God's hands are that big. But I'm glad that when I'm going through some things, or when I'm struggling with something, or I need God's help in something, I'm glad that when I stand in the great big hand of God, that it feels like I'm the only one there. That He cares for me that much, that I know that He inclines His ear unto me, that I know that He listens to how I pray, that He knows the needs of my heart, that He knows what I need in my life. I'm glad that God is big enough to handle all of my needs, and He's small enough to care just for me. And He does for you too. So if you're going through something, if you're struggling with something, if you're in the middle of a battle or sickness or whatever, trust that God has you in the palm of His hand. And even though that He has everybody, that He is also, that He loves you individually and knows where you're at individually. Glad that God's working for my good. Daniel chapter number 6, will you stand with me this morning? We're going to read just a couple of verses, and we may go back and cover a lot of verses in this chapter here just to keep everything in context, but we're going to stand and read a couple of verses together. Let's go to verse number 19, Daniel chapter number 6. Very familiar scripture this morning. The Bible says, Daniel chapter number 6, verse number 19, the Bible says, "Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions." Notice it doesn't say to the lion's den. That could be one lion, but this was a den of lions, multiple lions, "that were trained for the purpose that they were there. They were probably on the brink of starvation, just waiting for the next meal. Verse number 20, the Bible says, "And when he came to the den, when the king came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you again for this day, God, for being able to be here for our health and strength. God, I pray that you'll protect our minds, our hearts, and our mouth, God. I pray that you'll protect me as I try to preach this morning, that I'll stay exactly in your will, God. I pray that you'll help me to preach the message that you've laid upon my heart. And God, help us to see how that you're working for our good and for your glory. Again, I pray for everyone here today that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today will be that crowning day in their life. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As again, as many of you know, we've read this scripture and we've heard this story many times. And if you went to Sunday school as a child, you've heard this story taught on many times. And we've seen the Bibles that had the pictures throughout the Bible, and it shows Daniel standing in a place that looks like a dungeon with lions walking around him. And we know what the story encounters. We know how that the king was tricked into the decree that he signed. But let's look here in verse number 19 and verse number 20. And again, we're going to back up in just a minute. And I want you to notice the question that King Darius asked Daniel as he goes there to the den of lions that morning. As he's waited all night and he's afraid that his friend Daniel, and we'll show you that he was his friend here in just a minute, as he has waited all night and he has prayed all night, and I don't even know if he knew who he was praying to or not or what he was asking for, but his heart's desire was that Daniel would be okay. And as he goes there, the Bible says that he cried in a lamentable voice, or a voice of sorrowfulness, or a voice of, it was from a broken heart. And he says, "Oh, Daniel," let me read it so I don't get it wrong. "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" You know what? You're going to have lions that show up in your life. You're going to have things that show up in your life, and you're going to have things that you feel like are going to devour you. You're going to have things that are either challenges that come up in your life, of things that happen physically to you or emotionally or spiritually, and it's going to feel like a lion that is just going to devour you and take you out. But I want you to notice the question that King Darius asked. He says, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest able to deliver you?" Can I ask you this morning that when the lion shows up in your life, or you're in the middle of a bunch of lions and you're fearful of being devoured, or you know that you're no match for the enemy that has come your way, let me ask you a question this morning. Is the God that you serve able to deliver you? And before we give a great big amen this morning, because we know that the living God is able to deliver us, amen, that's a good place for a big amen. He is able, no matter what kind of lion that you're facing, to deliver you from the mouth of the lions. But I want to ask you a question this morning. See, there's a question in the middle of that question that we sometimes fail to see. There's a question in the middle of that question that sometimes we fail to take heed of in our life. I want to ask you this morning, who is your God? Who are you serving? Because we see here that the Bible says, as King Darius goes out there, he says, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God." He knew whose God Daniel was. But I want you to know this. He says, "Servant of the living God, is thy God able to deliver thee from the mouth of the lions?" Yes, the living God is able to deliver you. But I want to ask you this morning, is he really God in your life? You say, "Oh, yeah, preacher, I believe that there is a God. I believe that there is only one God. I believe that he created the heavens in the earth. I believe that he's in control of everything. I believe all of those things. And preacher, I know who God is." That all may be true, but is he your God? See, sometimes in my life, I get a little bit confused, and I allow things to come into my life, and they take the position of God in my life. They take the position of my honor and my glory. They take my worship from God. Sometimes I get my eyes on other things, and it could be something as simple as finances. It could be something as simple as my position at work. It could be something, hey, let's go ahead and say it. It could be things in our family that become God to us. But I want you to know something, that none of those things are able to deliver you from the mouth of the lions. But the living God is able to deliver you from the mouth of the lions. We need to be careful. What is God in our life? Well, preacher, I just don't quite understand. Hey, listen, when I allow things to get out of priority, when I allow things to become more important than my relationship with God, when I allow things to be in place of God in my life, I'm no longer dependent on God. I'm dependent on those things as God in my life. I know I don't like that, and you probably don't either. But we need sometimes to stop back and say, okay, what is God in my life? What do I really put my trust in? What am I really looking to for my help and my strength? What is it that I'm counting on? Is it a relationship? Is it this? Would I allow anything to stand between me and God? And when we get to that place, we are no longer trusting in God. Hey, so I know how that goes, though. This is how it goes in my life. I allow things to get ahead of God in my life. I allow things to become God in my life. I allow things to take priority over God in my life. You say, well, preacher, how do you do that? You get up there and preach to us, and you get up there, and we know that you study your Bible, and we know that you say that you trust in God. Absolutely. But you know what? We are all dealing with the same things every single day, and if we're not careful, we allow things to get out of place in our life. We allow things to get ahead of God in our life. We allow things to become more important than God in our life. And when we do, we're no longer trusting in God as our number one source of help, of deliverance, of redeeming. We are then trusting in those things in our life. So I want to ask you this morning, really and truly, is your God, whatever you're serving this morning, whatever you have put in front of God in your life, whatever I have put in front of God in my life, is it able to deliver us from the mouth of the lions? No, it may be able to deliver you from a flat tire. You might can go buy a new tire. It might be able to deliver you from a broken down vehicle. You might can go buy a new vehicle. It may be able to deliver you from different things in your life. But when the true lions, when the things that come into this life that it seems like it's going to devour you, there is only one source of help, and that is the living God. Let's go back and look at old Daniel for just a second. I may not read all this for the sake of time this morning. I've already spent more time there than I intended. But if you go back into Daniel chapter number 6, verses 1 through 3, you find that Daniel has been given favor in King Darius's eyes. Listen, Daniel is in captivity. He is not here by choice. He is here because the people of Judah have been taken captive. He didn't come and sign up for this. He didn't say, hey, this is what I want to be. But he has been given favor from God. Listen, I'm not going to say that he has King Darius's favor, but it's because he had the favor of God on his life. And God has put him in a position. He is above all. If you go back into Daniel chapter number 6 and like verses 1 through 3 or something like that, you can look and you see that there is people set up here in the kingdom. And these people are to make decisions, and these people are to take care of the kingdom. And they're to be sure that nothing is going wrong in the kingdom, and they're to report to the king. And Daniel has been put at the top of that list. He has been given favor from God to King Darius. As we look at that this morning, that doesn't even make sense. And you may say, yes, yes, God is working for his good. God may have put you in a position like that. God may have given you favor. You may be one of those people that everybody loves. You may be one of those people that everywhere that you go from the bottom to the top, just like that, because you're super intelligent, because you have good communication skills, because you have good people skills, whatever it is. You may be one of those people that you say, yes, God has given me favor, and I can rise to the top. And old Daniel may be looking and saying, you know what? I have risen to the top. And you may look and say, God has given him favor. God is working for his good. But can I show you this morning that God didn't put him at the top for the glory? God put him at the top because he's going to use him in a special way here in just a minute. He's going to use him in a way that God will get glory, and only God can get glory from his life. But as you see, as we go along, that there were some people that were jealous of old Daniel, that they were, hey, and if you are one of those people that can rise to the top, you have those special set of skills or whatever, that everybody likes you, or you're super intelligent or whatever it is, and you're able to rise to the top, listen, there's going to be people all around you that are jealous of you. And they're going to try to devise around you and scheme around you. Hey, Christian people, there is nothing that can come good when we go to scheming, especially around our brothers and sisters in Christ. You should not be scheming around brothers and sisters in Christ. But here, these guys, they start scheming against Daniel. And they start saying, you know what? We've got to find some kind of fault in him. We've got to get him dropped down. We've got to get him to lose his position. And that's all they can think about because he is captive. They're part of the, there's a Median Persian kingdom here, and Daniel's not even part of that, and he's above them. And they're just wanting to knock him down. They're wanting to take him out. But I want you to go, if you go read Daniel chapter 6, I was going to read it all, but we don't have time. As you go and you look into Daniel chapter number 6, they said the only way that we're going to find fault in him, hey, what a blessing, what a testimony that we're fixing to see in Daniel right here. They said the only way that we'll find fault in him is if we can find something that he does for his God. What if somebody's looking at your life this morning? Is that the only fault that they could find in you? What if somebody's looking in my life this morning? Could they look and say, well, the only way that we're going to be able to find fault is if we set a trap for them, because if they continue to worship God, live for God, testify for God, if they continue doing what God wants them to do, then we can set a trap for them. Hey, some of us, they could set a trap for us out in front of us of the way that we talk about God, the way that we witness, the way that we pray, the way that we study, and that trap would lay out there until the bait run dry, because we would never step into it because we're not living what God's asked us to live. I know. That's tough. That's hard. But sometimes hard sayings is what we need to evaluate our lives. But here Daniel is, and they said, we can find fault in him. So they go to King Darius, and they said, let's make a decree. Let's set King Darius up. Let's put him on a pedestal. Children of God, be careful when people are wanting to set you up on a pedestal, because a lot of times it's just like a dunking booth. They're fixing to start throwing stuff at you when they set you way up. Let's set him up. Let's set King Darius up on a pedestal here. Let's build him up and say, you know what? They shouldn't anybody ask of anything unless it's of you, because you the man. They shouldn't anybody even make a request of anybody else except for you, because you have the power. Because you could say yes and you could say no and you can give it to them or not. We're going to set you up. And they did. They tricked old King Darius into making this rule here in the kingdom that nobody could ask of anything unless they ask of King Darius. So then this decree is made and it's signed with his signet, and that makes it official. There's no backing up on it. So now that this is signed, they go and they hide and watch. They go and they see, what is Daniel going to do? Daniel chapter number 6, verse number 10. Verse number 10, the Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Daniel knows what's going to happen. Daniel knows the consequence. Daniel knows that he is fixing, that he has been set up. And Daniel says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber. He didn't go hide in secret. He didn't say, you know what, I'm going to continue to be a Christian, but everybody don't have to know it. He didn't go and say, I'm going to continue to do the things, and I want you to pay close attention to that word, continue. Daniel didn't step out and rebel. Daniel didn't step out and say, well, since they made that decree, I'll show them. I'll show them just how much of a Christian I am. He continued to live just exactly like he was living. If you continue to live just like you're living, will people accuse you of being a follower of Christ? If I continue to live just like I'm living, would people accuse me of being a follower of Christ? But Daniel continued, and he says, and he opened his windows in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They didn't just happen by there. They were laying in wait for him. They knew that he would do it, and they knew that he would be found guilty. So then they run and tattletale to the king. And they say, listen, we have found Daniel, your most preferred, the one that you have set up. We have found him doing exactly what you made the ruling of that he couldn't do. Now what you going to do about it? And King Darius is sorry for the ruling that he's made. I mean, just like that, his heart is broken. Just like that, he's like, I wasn't thinking. I seen the glory coming my way. I seen the things coming my way that people had to ask of me. And just like that, his heart is broken because he has hurt Daniel, whom he loved. His heart is broken and he begins to try to find a way out of it. He begins to try and think, what can I do to reverse this? Because the ruling was, when they found this person guilty, that he would be cast into a den of lions, of hopeless den of lions. So now that he begins to think about that, look, let's go over to verse number 14. Then the king, verse number 14, the Bible says, Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. This wasn't like he just had a passing thought and said, man, I hate this. He labored. He went home, and I believe his heart was broken. I believe that he was saying, I wish there was any way that I can make this not be what Daniel has to go through. But as he sees that, and we know what Daniel is fixing to go to, I want to ask you something now. We were making the observation earlier that God had put Daniel in this place, and that was for his good. But what about now? What about now that Daniel is facing the den of lions? What about now that he is guilty? What about now? Would you be sitting there saying, oh God, I know that you're working for my good. Oh God, I thank you for giving me all of this preferred treatment. I thank you for setting me in high places. God, I thank you for knowing me and preparing my way. God, I want to thank. Would you still be saying that? Because a lot of times we look and say, oh, God's working for my good. And then as soon as something happens and it looks like it's going to bring pain or hurt or harm, we begin to think, where did God go? What's God doing? I'll just be honest with you. I don't understand God. I know it would be a feeble, weak God if I could understand him. But I don't understand God. I don't understand why some of you can stand here and testify this morning that you've been healed from sickness and why God chooses not to heal others. I don't understand why Alyssa is here with us today and there's been people who went through stuff less traumatic and they're no longer with us. I don't understand why y'all can go through a head-on collision and have some soreness, some broken ribs, and broken sternum, and you're here with us today, and there's been people that have been through less that are no longer here with us. I don't understand God. And you know what? I'm finding it difficult now that when I go and talk to people and they're looking for comfort from God, and they're going in through the middle of a trial or something, I'm finding it difficult now to try and explain what God's doing. Because I don't know what God's doing. I don't know what God's reasoning is. I don't know what God's thinking. Just like for Daniel here, I don't know why God allowed this to happen. You know, the very moment that King Darius made this decree, God could have struck him dead right then and said, you know, you're not going to do that to my child. You're not going to do that to my prophet. I'm going to be sure that he's taken care of, and I'm going to show everybody, King Darius, that you have no power over me and my people. But notice God didn't do that. So now we find Daniel, and he's fixing to go into a den of lions. I wish that I could understand God. I wish that I could text you when you're going through something and say, don't worry, it's going to be okay. God's got you. And I can say God's got you, but sometimes it doesn't feel like it, does it? Sometimes it doesn't say, oh, glory, hallelujah, that I'm going through this. But let's look what happened to Daniel. Let's look as he's thrown in this den of lions. Verse number 19, the king arose early in the morning. As Daniel is thrown into the den of lions, as the stone is rolled in place, as there is a signet put there on the stone to be sure that nobody moved that stone and that it was guarded. And the expectation is as soon as the lions know that he's there, as soon as they get that first whiff of Daniel in there, that they're going to come out there and they're going to rip him to shreds. The expectation is that Daniel will soon be gone, and Daniel will be taken care of. And when, verse number 20, and when he came to the den of lions, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. And to Daniel and king spake and said, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Listen to this. He's probably expecting silence or maybe to hear a soft purr from a lion or maybe that licking of the chops. And I can imagine King Darius standing there with a broken heart, crying with a lamentable voice. He's so sorry that all of this has happened. But then listen what he hears as he's standing there. Maybe as there's a brief pause of silence. And glory, hallelujah, that brief pause of silence was probably old Daniel waking up. Was probably old Daniel going,
It's morning.
He might have had to kick that line that was keeping him warm and say, hey, I got to get up. But after that brief pause of silence, he says, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent an angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me for as much as before him. Innocency was found in me. Look, he says, King Darius, you're not my judge. You're not my judge. Your people are not my judge. Your rules, they don't apply to me when God wants to step in the midst. He says, because I have had no hurt for as much as before him, as before God, innocency was found in me. As innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I like the way he said that. You know what he's saying, and this is in an old English kind of language, as we see here in our King James Bible. He says, I have done no hurt. And what he means by that is, I'm okay. Nothing has bothered me. But the way that you read that, if you want to get into country language, it's almost like he's saying, and don't worry about you lions, I ain't hurt them either. O king, live forever, for my God has sent his angel and has shut the mouth of the lions. That's where we find God working for Daniel's good. Yes, he was working for his good when he set him up, but even after he went through trouble, because Daniel trusted him, because Daniel held sure, because Daniel said, I'm going to continue allowing my God to be my God. I'm going to walk steadfastly. I'm not going to be that flip-flop Christian. As we look at Daniel, we find him in the middle of this den of lions where he should have been consumed, and yet he's given God glory and said, O king, that God has sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lions, and I want you to know that everything's okay, king. And Daniel comes up out of that lion's den. Can I tell you this morning that God is always working for our good? You don't have to understand it, but we do have to trust it. Daniel trusted it. Daniel walked in for lunch and come out with victory. But let me show you something right here, and I'll be done. Working for our good. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. We sing God's goodness. Let me show you God's glory. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Wouldn't you like to impact people that way? Wouldn't you like to have that kind of thing happen in your life, where God works for your good, and then he gets all of the glory, so much so that old King Darius says, from now on we will recognize Daniel's God. From now on, we will give him glory. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of impact in people's lives? That when you stand for God, that when you go through something and you allow God to work for your good, that all of the glory is shown back on him, that all of the glory is given to him. Because I want you to know something this morning, that he is truly worthy of all the glory this morning. Well, preacher, how can that happen in my life? Listen, we got to keep reading. We got to see what happens. I just want you to know that this wasn't a fluke. I just want you to know that these lions wasn't sitting down there with a stomach ache. And they didn't eat because they were not hungry. Go with me to verse number 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them. Just like that, we have hungry lions. And the lions had mastery over them and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. God worked for Daniel's good. Can you agree with me this morning that God was working for Daniel's good? To walk into a den of lions and be able to walk out, can't you see that God was working for his good? And do you see God's glory? If you will, come on and get an invitation song this morning of some kind, please. You say, well, preacher, I would love to have that kind of impact. I would love to see God work for my good like that, even when I think it's not for my good, even when I think it's awful and it's terrible. I would love to see God work for my good and be able to give God so much glory with it that it impacts other people's life and that they are changed and they recognize who God is. And in Old Testament's a little different, but here in the New Testament age, and they become followers of Christ because of God working for good in my life. Would you like to see that in your life? That was a little weak. Would you like to see that in your life? I would. You don't want to know where it started? Daniel's faithfulness. Daniel's desire to be true to God. Daniel's desire to live a life for God's glory, no matter the consequence, no matter the trouble, no matter the position. Daniel said, I'm going to be faithful. If you want people to be impacted by your life, it's going to take faithfulness. You say, well, preacher, describe faithfulness. I come to church every Sunday. Yes, that is one kind of faithfulness. It definitely is. Preacher, I give my tithes. Yes, that's definitely faithfulness. But let me show you. Daniel wasn't going to church. Daniel wasn't paying his tithes. Daniel was living a life that others saw who his God really was. And let me just go ahead and tell you this morning that when people look at my life, when people look at your life, they can see who your God really is. You may not be willing to admit it to yourself this morning because I have trouble with that too. I want to look and say, you know what, I'm pastoring a church and God's blessing our church, so I must be right with God. I must be doing the things that God wants me to do because of the way that God's blessing and God's adding to us and we're seeing salvation. It don't have anything to do with me. It has to do with the fact that the Holy Spirit is showing up in our services and God is dealing with people's hearts and people are responding to the Holy Spirit. That's what it has to do with. Because there's been times here that when people have responded and they've come to God, they've received God for their Savior, they've brought their life back to God, and my life wasn't right. And I knew my life wasn't right. And people around me probably could see that my life wasn't right and that I had priorities out of place. So it wasn't about me. It was about Him, and He deserves all the glory. And you may be here this morning, you may be saying, you know what, I'm living a pretty good life. I'm a good moral person. I try my best not to do all of these terrible things that we think about. But that does not mean that you're being faithful unto God. I have to stop very, very often and take a little inventory of my life and evaluate my life and do just like the scripture says and says, oh God, seek me. Search me, try me, and see if there be any wicked way in my life. If you want to impact people, you want to see things happen for your good and God's glory, it begins with faithfulness. Day in and day out, not just Sunday morning, not just Wednesday night, but it begins with being faithful unto God. I know that I stand in need of my relationship with God, being closer. I stand in need of moving priorities around. It's amazing how my priorities get right on Sunday morning. Amen. It's amazing how when I'm preparing to come and preach to y'all, I say, God, please, if I've got anything out of sorts, God, forgive me for it. It's amazing how I do that on Sunday morning, but you know what? My faithfulness is not found right here in this pulpit. My faithfulness will be found when I'm at my workplace, when I'm hunting, when I'm riding horses, when I'm out here doing whatever I do. That's where my faithfulness will be found and where I can impact people for God's glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Maybe right now, if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, maybe you're searching yourself right now
and you're asking God to show you who is your God. It's wonderful that you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, but why don't you trust Him with your life? Why don't I trust Him with my life? God, are you really number one in my life? God, when it's all good, I worship you. But when you bring me to the place that you're really fixing to get some glory out of my life, are you still number one in my life? Maybe you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I know without a doubt that I'm saved." But I'll be honest. And I'll say that sometimes this world takes some precedence in my life. Sometimes there's something in my life that gets ahead of God. Sometimes there's things in my life that comes and I'm not sure that they're impacting other people for the right cause. I'm not sure that they're impacting people to be followers of Christ. I'm not sure that I'm doing everything that I can do in order to allow God to get glory out of my life. Preacher, I just want to acknowledge to you, I wouldn't come to you, say your name or nothing else. I just want to acknowledge to you and acknowledge to God that I want to be that kind of Christian, and I want God to know that I'm concerned about where I'm at right now, and I want to begin to allow Him. I want to surrender to Him and allow Him to be priority in my life. Would you just slip up your hand? I see hands everywhere. Keep them up for just a minute, please. God, I pray that you'll touch each and every one of them. I see you. Amen. You put them right back down. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, "Well, preacher, my life has been impacted by the gospel. My life has been impacted by somebody else that I see living the way that a faithful life unto God. But preacher, I've realized that I'm not saved. I've realized that if I died right now, according to the scripture, not according to Baptist, not according to any kind of tradition, not according to anything else, but according to God's word, if I die without asking Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin, that I would die and go to hell." And preacher, maybe I'm even able to admit this morning that I'm just scared of going to hell. And I don't want to die in the condition I'm in. I don't want to die lost. I want to come to know Jesus. I don't know that I'm coming up there today. But preacher, God's dealing with my heart. And I know that I'm lost. And I just want you to pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? That's all I'll do. I wouldn't come to you or embarrass you. I wouldn't call your name. I see a hand. You can put it right back down. Anyone else? I see a hand. You can put it right back down. Anyone else? I see a hand. You can put it right back down. Thank you. I see a hand. You can put it right back down. Lord, I want to thank you. I want to praise you for all that you do. God, for the way that you're dealing with our hearts this morning. God, for the way that you've dealt with mine. God, I pray that you'll help me to be everything, to be faithful unto you, and that you will use my life for my good and your glory. Touch all these hands that were raised. Deal with our hearts. Help us to respond. And in Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand with me this morning as they sing? If God spoke to your heart, won't you come on? Don't wait. Just come on right now.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest.
Is everything okay between you and God? Are you happy with where your life is with God right now? Is God happy with where your life is? Is He getting glory? If not, He'll help. If we seek Him and we'll be faithful, He'll help.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My
We had a few hands that were raised this morning, and some of these hands were from small children that I don't know if they know and understand about salvation or not. But there was somebody that raised their hand this morning that said that they were lost. And to my knowledge, I don't see them around the altar, so I they're missing an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Can I tell you this morning that death has no respect of age? Death don't care how old you are. You might be here and you might be 7, 8, 9. You might be 50. You might be 70. And still, this could be the very last time that you have an opportunity to come to know Jesus. Preacher, you're just scaring me. I'm not really trying to scare you. I just want to be really real with you. I just want to help you make the right decision this morning. If God's speaking to your heart, won't you step out and accept Christ today? Why don't you let today be the day that you find forgiveness of your sin? That you find that fulfillment in your life? That today would be the day that you can always take Satan back to and say, my God is able to deliver me from anything that comes my way. I'm going to ask them to sing one more verse. If God's speaking to your heart, why don't you come? What's holding you back? There's nothing in this world worth going to hell for. One more verse, please.
Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
Amen. I feel like God said that's enough. He spoke to your heart and he's giving you an opportunity. It's all on you to make the decision. Thank you for being here this morning. I really appreciate you. Church, sometimes if I say too much about my family, I'm sorry, because I'm really not trying to make church about me and my family. I really ain't. You know it's heavy on me right now. But I'm experiencing some things that many of you have gone through. And I hope and trust some way, shape, form, or fashion that God can teach me how to be a better steward of the things that he's blessed me with in my life. How to be a better pastor and to care for you when you're going through things in your life, and how to have more compassion and empathy on people when they're going through things in their life. And sometimes you just got to have somebody to talk to. And guess what? Sometimes y'all are my people to talk to. I love you. Thank you for being here this morning. I hope and trust that you have a good week. And this week, let your life show faithfulness that people know who your God truly is. Chuck, will you